up to Perek Mem Vav, Pasik Hey. The Perek continues to make litzanis of Avodah Zarah. Good morning. It continues to make litzanis of Avodah Zarah. L'mi se dam yuni v'sashvu. Hashem says, to whom can you compare me that I should be equal? How dare you compare me to an idol? Sedam yuni means to compare. V'sashvu means, and through this comparison, we will be equal. This Sam Shiluni, that's another word which is almost identical to the word Sidam Yuni. To whom will you compare me? The Nidme and the M be similar. Pasik Perik Membov. Perik Membov Pasik He. So Yishai here is saying there is no one. Yishai is saying in the name of Kadosh Baruch Hu, how dare you attempt to compare me to any idol? There is no comparison. There is no equal. There is no equal to me in this world. All these words which are Sidam Yuni parallel Sam Shiluni, and Sashvu parallels the word Nidme, there's no comparison. Pasuk Vav. Hazolims of now he comes to mock those people that not only worship idols, they invest all of their wealth in, they put their stock, they invest in Avodah Zarah. Hazolim Zav Mikitz, they pour out. This is a very powerful expression. When you go to the store, no one's pouring out their money to buy anything. You take out your wallet and you look in a miserly way to how much I'm willing to take out a few hard-earned dollars out of my wallet to pay for an object. When you go to the store, and you're always upset, why does it cost so much? It's not fair. But here, when it comes to the idols, the people, they pour. It's like they take out their wallet and they shake it out. Take all my money. If only I had the merit. Only I had the merit to go and purchase this idol. That's pathetic. Hazolim zav mikis. They pour out gold from their kiss, their wallet. V'chesef bakone yishkolu. They weigh silver on the scale. The scale, there are different parts of the scale. There is the kaf and the kone. The kone is the bar, it's the center bar of the scale on which the scales actually are attached, and there are chains. There are different program in Yeshaya and Tanakh where the Nevi'im, they give Meshalim, they compare different things to different parts of this scale. Every object has its, it's very interesting, learn Nevi'im, every object has its parts. For example, a tent, say in the Kinas and Tisha, the Oholi. You learn in Yeshaya. The tent has its vocabulary. It has pegs, has ropes, it has components. Excellent. The pegs, the ropes, the material. That's tent. Tent has its components. A ship. The ship has the toiren, has the oars, has the sails, has the rudder. There are all the different words, its components, its vocabulary. And likewise, a scale also has its components. It has the kone, the kaf, the sharshros, the scales, all the different, there are more things obviously, but over here it just mentions this part of the scale. It's the main part of the scale is the kone, it's the center shaft, the center, the base of the scale which supports the scales through the chains. So the people, they take their silver, their hard-earned money, and they weigh it on the kone, yishkolu, they weigh it in order so that to purchase the raw material, and furthermore, yiskeru tsoireif, they hire a smith, v'yaaseihu el, and they instruct the smith, here, and we're hiring you, we want you to make this raw material into a god. Yiskedu af yishtachem. This is an important pasuk, because this pasuk compares these two words together, skida, which means to bow, as you mentioned, in a mask, and the word mask comes from the word yiskedu, af yishtachem, to bow down, two words which refer to bowing down. The Mefarshim tell us that Hishtachavah is a greater degree of bowing. Hishtachavah, you go down more. Prostrating, and Yiskedu is lesser. What exactly is the difference? How far do you go down? Do you actually put your hands on the ground and bow all the way down? It's not clear, but there's Skida and Hishtachavah. The Gemara talks about the difference, but we have these two different expressions, and the Mitzvah here says that Skida is less than Hishtachavah. When the two are compared one to the other, Hishtachavah is further cross-training all the way down the ground. Vayanichu tesachtav v'yamod. And then after this process is complete, where they pour out their money to purchase the raw material, and they hire a smith to make the raw material into an idol, and they bow down to it, they carry it. Yiskiluv Yaf Yishtachlu Pasuk Zayin Yisouhu Al Kosef Yisbilu. First Yisou. Period. Yisouhu. They lift up the idol. They go to the store. They give their ticket. They have their idol. They pick it up on their shoulders. Al Kosef Yisbiluhu, and they carry the weight. These idols were heavy. They carry the weight of these idols on. That's where Yisbilu. Yisbilu means it's a burden. Sevel. Yeah.
Festival in Brooklyn every summer in the north side section. I once saw this on the Italians with the, that's right, this enormous statue, yeah. and they have like the biggest bull vans, a whole team of them have to pick this thing up and schlep it through the streets.
That's what it says. Al kosef yispilu. The word yispilu means it's a burden. It's not an easy load. It's heavy. And this is what they do to with their idols, v'anichut sachtov, and when they reach their destination, they put it down on the ground, v'yamod, and it stays there, and it doesn't move because it's too heavy to move. Mimekoimo lo yamish, from its place, it does not move. And that's also a derogatory statement, because if this idol has any life to it, it should be able to do something, it should be able to move around, it should be independent. The fact that the idol can't move, it can't save itself. How do these people expect that it can do something for them? Af Yitzak Yelov Lo Yaneh. Then the people, they cry out, they scream. Yitzak means to scream, they shout, they raise their voice with their full strength. But Vlo Yaneh, and the idol does not answer. Mitzaraso. The word Mitzaraso goes back on the words Af Yitzak. They cry out when they have trouble. They cry in good times, they cry in bad times. When they have difficulties, but lo Yoshi Enu, the idol does not save them. So here in this psukim, Yeshaya is mocking the idols that the people invest. They spend enormous amount of money and they pour out willingly their money to invest and hire craftsmen to make the idols. But the idols are worthless. They don't move and they don't answer them in the times of trouble. Pasuk Zayin, and now Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, but you are not like that. You, my nation, Zichru Zos Vehis. O Shoshu, remember this. Focus. Zichru Hizos means pay attention to what I just told you. I've just told you all of these ideas to show you the foolishness of these that worship idols. Remember this. Remember how foolish this is, and do not be influenced by these idolaters and pagans. Vehis O Shoshu. The word Vehis O Shoshu comes from the word foundation. Ashishe Kir. It means the foundation of a city. So in this context, it means strengthen yourselves. His chazku, Rashi says. The Mitzuda says, his chazku, kibinyin hayisod, kimola ashishe kir. The foundation wall. So pay attention to what I just told you. Remember that idols are worthless. They're not going to help you. And be mechazik yourselves now at this moment in time when it's clear to you the futility of idols, so that hoshivu poishim aleh, and furthermore, hoshivu poishim aleh, let the people who have stumbled, the poishim, the foolish people, the sinners who have stumbled and were nichshol in worshipping idols, let them pay close attention, set this upon their heart, and not to continue in these ways, and not to worship idols. Pasuk Tes, zichru rishonos me'olam. And now Hashem's, remember that I am not like this. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through his prophets, have revealed the future to Bnei Yisrael. And Rashi says, referring first to Yitzias Mitzrayim, at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, I've told you what has happened. Zichru, remember the rishonos me'olam, from time immemorial. These two, the ki anochi kel, it is I that is a god, the ein od, Elohim, there is no other god but me, the ephes kamoni, there is nothing but me. Let's see the Rashi, zichru rishonis me'olam, asheri isem, ki anochi kel, the ein od, anochi Elohim, the ephes kamoni, remember all of the miracles that I have done for you, for Klal Yisrael, in the early years. The Mitzvah elaborates, pasuk tes, zichru, tenu lev, liskor haniflos, harishonos, shasisi, mimos, remember all the miracles that I have done for the Jewish people from the earlier days. Pasuk Yud, Magid Mereshis Achris, Hashem through his prophets always reveals the future. Hashem tells you in the beginning what's going to be at the end. Umikedem, here he repeats himself, Umikedem, and what took place in the early point in time, Asher lo nasu, before it occurred. I told you what would be, period. And now Hashem says, Oimer atzasi sakum, I have said at those early points in time that my counsel shall be established, my plans should come true, come to fruition, v'cholchevtzi aseh, all of my desires I will do. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Kari me'mizrach ayit, and there Hashem says, and just like I've done that in the past, I will do that in the future. And therefore, you hear Yeshayah is saying that what's going to happen in 200 years from now, I'm going to call, well, this was going to the Mitzvahs, then we'll see Rashi, Kari me'mizrach ayit. I will call from the east the ayit. Who is the ayit? According to the Mitzvahs, it is Koresh. That this goes back to the theme of these parakim describing Babel, and describing the Churban of Babel. I have called the vulture. Koresh here in this pasuk is called the ayat. And the reason why we compare him to a vulture is because a vulture is very swift, flies very quickly, suddenly you never expect it, And that's exactly what we learned about Babel. Babel was destroyed very quickly. They never saw it coming. Belshazzar was enjoying himself, having a party, and we learned this in the beginning of Yeshayah. He set up the watchmen that were guarding the palace, looking out at the distance, and they did not believe it was possible for Mada and Paras to suddenly attack and conquer their nation, but that's what's going to happen. It's going to be like the ayat. The ayat comes out of nowhere, the vulture comes out of nowhere and conquers and takes its prey, and that's what Hashem says, I have called, I have decided that Babel shall come to an end, I have called from the east. It appears that Koresh was in the east part of the civilized world. Ayat me eretz merch, from a distant land, ish atzasi, he is a man of my counsel, he is a man that will bring forth my plans. Eitzah is a plan, the plan I have for the Jewish people. I want the Golus to end, I want them to return to my land. He is the one that I have appointed to carry out my will. He was supposed to actually take a proactive role in bringing the Geula and bringing Bnei Yisrael back to Eretz Yisrael and in building the Beis HaMikdash. Af Dibarti, I have spoken. Af Aviena, I have brought this to be. Yotzarti, I have created this entire circumstance. Af Esena, I have done it. This is the way the Mitzudos learns this pasuk. Let's see this inside very quickly. Let's just see what it says over here. Pasuk Gidalef, Korei Anihu, Korei Es Ha'ayit, Lavo Mimizrach. Well, who is the Ayit? The Mitzudos says, Ratzalaymar, Oyer Leif Koresh, I will awaken the heart of Koresh. Hayoshev, Bimizracha Shel Babel, who lives in the east of Babel. Umehira Kal Yavo, he will come very quickly to Oif HaPrech, like a bird that flies. Ish Atzasi, he is called the man of my plans. Why is he the man who Koresh? Sheyasemash Sheyoatzti Al Babel, he will implement the plans I have set in motion for Babel. The Kavalev B'Masha Amar. After Barti, Hadav Hazadibarti Tembo. Oh, I predict this way in advance. Yetzarti Esapuranas Hazos Babel. I have created the punishment. It's a very interesting idea. Punishment is a creation of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay, and Rashi is a little bit different. Not a little bit, a lot different. Let's see Rashi Pasuk Yud Magid Mireishas Achrin. So Golus Mitzrayim. So first, that's not a conflict to the Mitzudos, that Hashem always predicts the future. I brought about Golus Mitzrayim Ugulasan, redemption of Dati Ben Absarim. I revealed the fact that there would be a Golus and a Gula in Mitzrayim to Avraham Avinu by the Brisbane Habasarim. So if you learn Pesukim simply, you would say that it goes back, what we've learned many times, that the Levim, Yeshaya, predicted many things in his lifetime. He predicted that Pekach Ben Remaliyahu would not succeed in conquering Yerushalayim. He predicted the fall of Sancheirif, and now he's predicting what's going to be predicted. He predicted the goals of the Aseret Hashar. I think those are the three main things. Number one, he predicted Pekach ben Amaliyahu would not conquer Yerushalayim. He predicted the goals of the Aseret Hashvatim, and he predicted Sancheirif. Three major prophecies that he predicted in advance that he lived to actually see. This is always repeated over and over, these three ideas. And then he basically says, use that as a springboard to have belief in me, just like these three predictions that I have. These three things which I predicted have come true. Believe me when I tell you that in 125 years from now, the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed. And believe me also that Babel will then also be destroyed 70 years later by Modai and Paras, and the Jewish people will return to Eretz Yisrael at the time of the Baal Sheni. Yeah.
The Lashon Magid and Mereshis Achris is in the Tanoim.
Magid Mereshis Achris. Very good. I didn't think about that. It's in the Tanoim. So why is this Nusach in the Nusach of the Tanoim? Excellent idea. I got to go look it up.
Because the Shaduchim
is kaidem yatsiyev arboim yom kadem yitzir savlad baskal machris pliny leplini.
The kriyas yamsuf.
Over here, kriyas yam. Well, kriyas yamsuf over here, according to Rashi, Hakadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu everything about the golus and the geula of Mitzrayim. So magid, it's bashar. The idea of bashar that it's magid mereishis achus. This event that is taking place here has long been predicted from earlier days. Excellent. And over here, that's exactly how Rashi translates what is referred to Magid Mireishis Achas. It's very cool what you're saying because of Kriyas Yamsov, because it refers, according to Rashi, specifically that Hashem told Avraham about Golus and about the Geula of Mitzrayim. And the Geula of Mitzrayim was fulfilled in its entirety at the time of Kriyas Yamsov. So now when you come to the firm and you say they seal the shidduch, this is kosher lezavgam ki kriyas yamsov, exactly what it says here in Rashi. So now you have a beautiful drasha for the next tanaim. Magid mereishis achris golus mitzrayim begulosa hoidati bebein habsarim lefnei heyosa. Now we go to Pasuk Yud Aleph in Rashi. This is interesting. Korei mimizrach ayit, Hashem called from the east. The ayit. Who is the ayit? Not like the mitzudos koresh, but me eretz aram. Aram naharayim, shehi bimizrach. Aram naharayim is in the east. Is in the east of the civilized world at the time of Avraham. Karasi li es Avraham. I called my servant Avraham lios nimlach batsasi to take counsel in my advice. And so according to Rashi, it refers to Avraham Avinu. He is called the Ayat. It's very interesting. Avraham, where do you have such a thing? Avraham is the Ayat, the vulture.
The Ayat appears in the first Ben Absorim.
Oh, so that was one of the one
Ayat.
And it took away the program. Okay, excellent. I didn't think of that. So here he's saying, Rashi is saying this incredible thing, that Ayat is the... It's Avraham. Karasi is Avraham Lios Nimlach Batsasi. Fascinating. And the Brisbane Absarim, so you have to now take a new look at the Brisbane Absarim and look at the Ayat as a reference that you, Avraham, you are the Ayat in this Brisbane Absarim. That's a whole new idea.
Yeah.
That's not the way I think
of
it like that.
Terms.
But it's a Feresh Rashi. It's a Feresh Rashi, and this requires us to revisit the story of the Bein Habsarim with this Rashi in mind.
Maybe in the sense of having an overview.
Yeah.
But the Ayat
took away the Habsarim, it says, right?
Yeah,
and it took away the pieces.
I know.
Fascinating. It's a whole new world now. Baruch Hashem. Yeah.
Past,
what?
The word kar is past tense?
No, it's tense, future
tense? It's present. It's a present tense, which can be used sometimes. The present tense can be used sometimes to refer to the past as well. It's very complex. Like the word odate. Odate means to encourage, right? I was just looking to this word where someone we were discussing this. Odate means to encourage. So is that mean the present tense? How do you say in the past tense that he encouraged? So I asked a very big expert, and he told me he was 90% sure that it's also used in the past tense, and he'll check it out, and he checked it out, and he did a lot of research, and he concluded that it's 100%. Odin not only is used in the present tense, it also is used in the past tense. So you see there are many examples where a word that is in the present tense also is used to refer to the past tense. Problem though is when you're dealing with Nevi'im, Yeshaya, many times the tense is incorrect. The tense is the past, and it refers to the future. And the reason given is because the nevuah, when you're dealing with in the world of prophecy, even though they are seeing things that are going to happen in the future, it's as if it already has happened in their minds, being that they're looking at this from a perspective of a Navi. So when you're dealing with words of nevuah, of Nevi'im, a lot of these words of grammar, the grammar of future tense and present and past, is very confusing. It's very flexible because what is prophecy? Prophecy is the future. But I see it now. If I see it now, it's happening now. Or it's as if it already happened. So, you know, if you're reading a book, modern...
When Mashiach comes, or if it's
Well, there are many interpretations. There are many different interpretations. If you learn the Bris Ben Absarim at a very simple level, it appears that these is a prophecy. What will happen in the future? What is the Eid? We have to look in the Midrashim there in Parshas Vayera. Is that correct? Parshas Vayera, the Bris Ben Absarim. But here, Rashi is telling us an entirely new idea, which never occurred to, at least not to me. Lech Lecha never occurred to me, and as Rav Miller points out, Eid here refers to Avraham, and Avraham that opened, and then Rashi ties it indirectly to the Bris Ben HaBasarim, and that opens up a whole new world. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Yud Beis.
The Ebenezer says it's Kairish.
Right, so I said, the mitzvahs. That's what I said. That's the first thing. That's what we said. The pshat, simple. That's what we said. We beat that like with this. The simple interpretation of mitzvahs is koresh. I read the mitzvahs with you. Koresh. Rashi, like we always say, Rashi in Yeshaya is heavily steeped in Medrash. Rashi in Yeshaya is not like Rashi in Chumash. Rashi in Chumash tends to apologize almost when he quotes a medrash. He'll say the targum, he'll say the pshat, and then he'll say medrash agada, and there also happens to be a medrash agada that says as follows.
Actually, I thought that meant that he wasn't quite satisfied with the pshat.
Right. Rashi, if you study Rashi, that we take it for granted that, you know, we read Rashi. Rashi is a very, very nice blend of pshat and medrash. Very. This was a chiddush of Rashi. Until Rashi's point in time, there were two mahalchim in studying Chumash. It was a pshat mahalch. Everything has to be taken literally, 100%. That was the one school of thought. 100% translated literally. You have to figure out what it means. And then there was a school of thought that nothing in the Torah should be taken literally. Every single word of the Torah is a mashal. Things never happened. Stories that we read about in the Torah never happened. They were visions. They're mashalim. And these were two schools of thought, and they did not cross. They were completely, completely separate mahalchim. And there's a Gemara. The Gemara is, don't put a stumbling block with the ivir lo sitei mirshal. Right, so it means literally. Don't put a stumbling block with a milchshol. But in business, if you want to go and cause a person to make a mistake, it's not what it says in the Torah. That's not what it says. Then there's a medrash agada. Medrash agada, another mahalach, another school of thought. It means no. Don't cause a person to stumble. But what would be the halacha if you actually put a stumbling block upon in front of a person and he falls? You potter. Because that's not what the pasuk means. The pasuk doesn't mean, it's not meant to be taken literally. It's only meant to be taken as a mashal. Rashi was mechadish. This was one of Rashi's incredible contributions. Rashi says they're both correct. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. And you have to learn the Torah by putting both of them together. There has to be a balance, a blend. There are some things in the Torah which are only meant to as mishalim, and there are some things in the Torah that are meant to be taken literally, and there are some things which are both. And Rashi, in his Perush and Chumash, he puts them both together. And if you read the history, some of the Svarim that we researched the times, this was a major shift in learning Chumash. That don't be so narrow. Don't focus on learning Tanakh with one mahalach. You have to be able to see the bigger picture, put things together. And that's what, but that's really very true when it comes to Rashi and Chumash. Rashi and Yeshai, as we've seen over and over, very rarely says pshat. Rashi is always into the Medrash, into the Mishalim, and that's what he's doing over here, because according to the Simple Shah, we're dealing over here with what's going to be the time of the Kurish. But Rashi says, no, this is to continue to refer to what happened in the time of Avraham Avinu. Let's go further. Pasuk Yud Beis, Shimur Lai Abi Relev, Harachaike Mitztaka, listen to me, the mighty of heart, which basically, this is an expression which means the stubborn. People who are extremely, Abira means the mighty. Haim Anshe, and who are we referring to? We're referring to, according to the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos says, Haim Anshe Bovel, Shehaim Abire Levov. They are very tough hearts. The Achzorim Al Yisrael, they are cruel to the Jewish people. They are distant from any consideration of doing kindness and chesed, doing chesed with the Jewish people. So here, according to the Mitzvot, he is addressing the Babylonians,
Nebuchadnezzar in particular.
And what is Rashi? Abi Relev Asher Emtzosam Libchem Atzamtem Libchem Vin Amatztem Libchem Vinid Baktem Bi and have cleaved to me. Haruchaykim Mitzdak Rashi Asher Orchu Lochem Hayamim V'loi Heresi Yatzchem. So Rashi is an entirely different interpretation. Let's go one thing at a time. According to Ra and the Mitzudos, we're addressing over here. Let's just read the Pesukim according to the Mitzudos, and then we'll read according to Rashi. Shimu Elai Abiri Leiv, listen to me, you wicked people of Bavel, who have very stubborn and cruel hearts, Haruchaykin Mitzdaka, who are distant from any compassion, any willingness to bestow kindness upon my Jewish people. Your end will come. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Kerafti Tzidkasi, my righteousness will come. The day is coming when I will destroy you, and I will redeem my people, and I will allow them to return to Eretz Yisrael. Lo Sirchak, it's not going to take long. It's not in the distant future. It's near. Usishua Silo Se'acher, and my salvation will not be delayed. Vinosati vitzion teshua li Yisrael tefarti, and I will grant in Tzion salvation to Yisrael, my glorious, splendorous nation. So this, of course, refers to the simple interpretation, the geula of the Bayis Sheni. Koresh will come, destroy Bavel, destroy Belshazzar, who was then the king. There were three kings of Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar, Evel Merodach, and Belshazzar. Modai will wipe out Bavel and Belshazzar. And a year later, I think it was only 1 year later, Daryavesh, Hamadi, he gave over the Malchus to his son-in-law, Koresh. So the Malchus was very quickly transferred to Koresh, and Koresh right away gave permission for them to go back to Eretz Yisrael. And then Koresh died, and then Achashverosh took over, and Daryavesh, and he halted the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, and then Achashverosh took over, and nothing happened during his time. Achashverosh died very quickly, very according to one opinion, right after the Nes of Purim, and then it was taken over by Daryavesh II, and he gave permission once again to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So that's what he was referring to, that Vinosati Vitzion Teshua Yisrael Tifarti. This is according to the Mitzudas. According to Rashi, it's a little bit different. Shimu Deilai Debiri Leiv Harachaykim Mitzdaka, this refers to the Jewish people. It refers to the people that have emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They have emunah, Abiri Leiv Asher Amatztem Libchem V'Nidbaktem Bi. You who have strengthened your hearts, who have emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and have cleaved to me, haruchayki mitztaka, and you are suffering greatly, haruchayki mitztaka, asher aruchu luchem hayamim v'lo heresi eschem tzidkasi ligol, that you, not like Mitzudas, that you wicked people above all who are distant from bestowing kindness upon my Jewish people. According to Rashi, he's referring to the tzaddikim among Klal Yisrael, who have emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're living in Bavel, you've been sent into exile, and it's been a long time since you've seen the Yad Hashem come forward and redeem you. Do not worry, do not be miyayesh, do not give up hope, the day will come when you will be redeemed. I'm coming to redeem you, and karafti yeshuasi mi'ata v'loisirchak, don't worry, the salvation is coming very soon. Pasik mem zayin. Now we describe the destruction of Babel. We're continuing in this period of time. Ridi ushvi al afar. Get down. Ridi is descend. Ushvi, sit on the earth. Bisulas bas Babel. You maiden Babel. Why is Babel here called a maiden? We have sometimes that Tzion is called the Bisulas Tzion. It refers to a point of time where they were never conquered. Babel did not never had the taste of what it meant to be conquered by a foreign nation, to go into exile. Just like a woman, a basula, she is a free woman. She is not yet married. She does not know what it means to have the yoke of a husband, what it means to be under the control and loyal to her husband. So too, a nation that has never suffered exile or conquest is called a besula, and we have that in Yeshaya in connection with Eretz Yisrael. Before the Churban Bayis Rishon, they were called besula. Klal Yisrael never had the taste of what it meant to be sent into exile, and we're using that same expression in reference to Bavel. Besulas, we refer to her as a in the feminine form throughout the remainder of all the pesukim that we're going to see in this parak. Besulas bas Bavel shvil aretz, sit down on the earth, ein kisei bas kastim, there is no chair for you, the daughter of the kastim. So here again we see this idea of Bavel and the kastim, these two nations together. Yeah.
Sometimes the feminine is used to mean a weakened state.
Weakened state, okay, excellent. So here we see this idea over and over that Bavel and the kastim seemingly are one and the same. It's not really clear. We mentioned the simple pshat that the kastim were the upper class, the aristocracy of the Babylonians, and the Babylonians were the lower class. It's a medrash that mentions, I don't remember the details, but we mentioned this a few times, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, he explains that they were two different nations. They were cousins. They were two different nations. The Babylonians, the Kastim, and Nebuchadnezzar was a Babli, and he married his wife was a Kasti, and therefore Evel Meroidach and Balshetzar followed the nationality of the mother. They were Kastim, and that explains why Nebuchadnezzar did not get along with his son Evel Merodach. Nebuchadnezzar tried to kill his son Evel Merodach, and after Nebuchadnezzar died, Evel Merodach took out his father's grave and was mevazeh his father's body. He stabbed his father's body to show the world why didn't the father and son get along. Throughout history, we know the kings, it's the greatest legacy, the greatest honor that the previous king should give over the malchus to his son. Why did they not get along? The answer is, according to Chaim Kanievsky, is because Nebuchadnezzar was a Babylonian. He represented the nation of Bavel. Being that he married a Kasti for whatever reason, we don't know why. But instead of marrying one of his own, he married the cousin nation, the Kasti nation, and the child followed that nation. He did not want the Malchus to shift from Bavel to the Kastim, even though, as far as we are concerned, it's all one and the same. Yeah.
Which did you say is the upper
Kastim? Kastim.
So Ahasuerus, according to Esther Rabbah, bragging that his wife Vashti is a Kasti.
Right. Because she's from the aristocracy, from the Chashuvim of the nation, not just from the lower class. That's the simple interpretation. I think the Mitzuda says this idea. But again, there's another mahalach that it's, and some say, I think there's a medrash that says it's just one of the same. To say it's one of the same, you have it all over Yeshaya. You have all these words which, you know, the repetition, the poetic repetition. But of course, there are many layers of interpretation. On a deeper level, we're referring to two different things. And it's a very interesting idea, which was totally new to me when I saw this Rav Chaim, this Haggadah, Siach HaPesach, where he says, no, there are two different nations. And when you understand that, everything makes sense. When you look at, you study Tanakh, and you very carefully understand who was a Kasti and who is a Babli, you see there's something going on. Things begin to fall into place. And especially it makes sense why there was such disagreement and such conflict between Nebuchadnezzar and his son, Evel Merodach. What is going on between the two? Why don't they get along, father and son? Especially Evel Merodach is going to carry on the legacy of his father, Nebuchadnezzar. The answer is, you're not from my people. You're from a different people. You're from the rival nations. Go talk about it, what's going on in Iraq. The Sunnis and the Shiites. Okay, they're cousins. Their cousin all comes from a split in the Malchus. From after Muhammad, after he died. But go down all the generations, there's this incredible hatred where they just cannot get along with each other, and you do not cannot tolerate the Malchus going from one cousin to the other cousin.
Just like every Hasidic should say.
Exactly. I didn't want to say that, but you said it. You read my mind. Okay, so this is pasuk. We'll just finish the pasuk and we'll stop. So redeu shvi alafa b'slos bas bavel shvi lavetz in kis, sit on the earth in kisse bas kastim kilos sosifi yikru loch raka va'anuga. No longer will you be called the delicate. Raka means the soft. Va'anuga and the delicate. They lived pampered lives. They conquered the world. They were extremely wealthy. They had nothing to do. They sat on the tennis court the whole day, on the beach. They had nothing to do. They were Rakov Anuga. They played golf the whole day. And therefore, it's not, you're not going to be playing golf anymore. Sorry, Bavo. You're going to go into exile. You're going to be conquered by Modei Paras. And you're going to suffer greatly for what you have done to my people, to Klal Yisrael. And that's what the Perek continues to mention, and with Pasuk Beis, but we'll stop here.